Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
In the past two episodes, we've focused on one of the wisdom lectures, which are also called admonitory speeches, in the first section of the Book of Proverbs, in chapters 1 through 9. Particularly, we focused on the final lecture in chapter 9. In chapter 9, there is a comparison being made between wisdom and foolishness, and it is accomplished by personifying each and ascribing certain attributes, actions, and outcomes to each of them. In their personified roles, wisdom and foolishness are commonly referred to as Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, since they are portrayed as women who are preparing a meal for guests and are inviting people to come and dine with them. The intention of this contrast is to teach the reader about what it means if they choose to listen to either Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly, and furthermore, what rewards or consequences will likely be experienced if one chooses to follow one of them. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 says, Lady Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. Indeed, she has prepared her table. She has sent out her female servants. She calls out from the tops of the heights of the town, Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To the one lacking sense, she says, Come, eat my bread and drink my wine that I have mixed. Leave your naive ways and live, and go straight ahead on the road of understanding. Lady Wisdom is described as a master builder and architect who has constructed a grand and beautiful house with seven pillars, conveying how Lady Wisdom is industrious and has exquisite craftsmanship. Her skills and her expertise are proven in the home she has built. This construction metaphor, as applied to Lady Wisdom, it represents her depth of understanding and ability to build a good life. She can teach all those who listen to her how to live according to Yahweh's design and to walk upon the road that leads to a life of peace and success. Lady Wisdom's house is said to contain seven pillars. This is likely meant symbolically to represent a magnificent and solidly constructed home. In the Bible, the number seven is often used to represent perfection. We can think of Lady Wisdom's house as a house that everyone would desire. A mansion with tall, ornate columns that might line an entryway or a spacious deck or patio. The large size of the house implies that Lady Wisdom has plenty of room and can host many guests and provide comfortable accommodations. In addition, the seven pillars also depict a house that is not only large, but is well designed and built to last. In the ancient culture, such a house would be a clear indication of wealth and social status, things which wisdom is said to provide to the one who listens to her. Another aspect of Lady Wisdom's wealth and generosity is indicated by her preparations to provide a sumptuous feast with meat and wine for her guests. What this gesture reveals is the premium hospitality that Lady Wisdom is willing to give. She is not withholding anything. She is going all out to ensure her guests are treated the best and enjoy their experience in her home. Essentially, she is rolling out the red carpet and sparing no expense to treat her guests well, ensuring that they have room to recline and rest, and that their stomachs are filled with delicious food and drink. Moreover, Lady Wisdom is said to have mixed her wine for her guests. Mixed wine likely refers to adding additional ingredients to the wine to improve it and make it absolutely delectable. It's not that she mixed her wine to dilute it to make it less potent, but she adds ingredients that might make it taste better, such as honey for sweetness or spices for flavor. But we know that Lady Wisdom is talking about gourmet wine here. She is giving nothing but the best for her guests. This metaphor of cooking a deluxe meal represents the manifold blessings and life enjoyment that the teachings of wisdom bring. Partaking in the banquet she offers produces strength and happiness. Also, Lady Wisdom is said to have sent out her female servants, indicating again that she is wealthy and she runs her household well, knowing how to coordinate the efforts of her servants to be acting in concert with her guidance. Unlike Lady Folly, who is described as sitting at the entrance to her house, calling out to those passing by, Lady Wisdom sends out her servants to broadcast her invitation, seeking for them to come to her luxurious home for a bountiful meal. In contrast to the laziness and unpreparedness of Lady Folly, Lady Wisdom is actively pursuing people and beckoning for them to come, rest, and be nourished as an honored guest in her home. Lady Wisdom's invitation is targeted at those who are naive. Interestingly, this is the same audience that Lady Folly is described as appealing to in verse 16. To be naive means to be simple-minded, inexperienced, or ignorant. Being naive is characterized by poor judgment and a lack of depth in understanding. Thus, we see that both Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly are appealing to those who are naive because they lack sense. They lack the ability to discern and understand things because they don't yet have wisdom. One question that we discussed in a previous episode is, why is Lady Wisdom interested in the naive? Moreover, what makes the naive group of mutual interest for both Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly? For Lady Wisdom, those who are lacking sense and naive are a target audience because these individuals are impressionable and haven't yet fallen into the trap of Lady Folly. Unlike some of the other forms of foolishness that are described in the Book of Proverbs, naivete is a type of foolishness that can be overcome with proper instruction and training. And thus, Lady Wisdom is competing against Lady Folly for the attention of the naive, because depending upon what the naive person chooses, they will travel down one of two roads, either to seek wisdom or to live as a fool. But Lady Folly is also trying to win the attention of the naive, because they have not yet established themselves upon the road of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 15 describes them as the ones making their paths straight. The naive are at a vulnerable place in their life and are highly susceptible to being influenced. Therefore, they are easy prey for Lady Folly. Unlike the wise, who can perceive and discern Lady Folly's ploys and see her trickery coming a long way off, the reward of accepting the invitation of Lady Wisdom is that she will teach knowledge and understanding so that you can leave behind your naive ways and live, and be able to go straight ahead on the road of understanding. The stakes are high, and the competition is fierce between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, because the results for accepting or rejecting Lady Wisdom's offer is a matter of life or death. Lady Wisdom is calling out and saying, if you want to live, you need to come and let me teach you, or else you will die in your foolishness. Now, we must keep in mind that the Book of Proverbs often speaks in binary terms. For example, it talks about the righteous versus the wicked, rich versus poor, life versus death, straight versus crooked, and so on. The purpose for this is to motivate the reader to see the gravity of the choice that is set before them, and that depending upon what they choose, it will send them down a path that leads to a particular destination. And so appealing to the reader in a way that makes the consequences of life choices as being black and white by revealing what is waiting for them at the end of each road, respectively, the reader is then handed the full weight of the consequences for them to consider. But this doesn't mean that in reality, life is not filled with an infinite mixture of good and bad choices that are based on various combinations of wise and foolish thoughts and actions. What the Book of Proverbs sets before us is a blueprint of life and how it is best lived in order for us to enjoy the blessings and good things that Yahweh desires for His creation to experience. However, this is a lot easier said than done. since wisdom is not something acquired quickly, and even when it is acquired, there is no guarantee that it will remain within us. Have you ever had a time when you made the same mistake twice? And presumably, the first time you made the mistake, you recognized what you did wrong and the ways in which you were not wise in the given circumstances. So then, if we understand what we did wrong and how to avoid it next time, then why do we sometimes do the same things wrong again the second time around? I believe this is because building wisdom into our life is not just about acquiring the recognition of how to do A, B, or C correctly in the moment. Wisdom needs to be both discovered and retained in order for it to benefit us. And this is done if we consistently apply the principles and teaching of wisdom in our life and build in our mind and heart proper ways of thinking and acting that are based on living with the fear of Yahweh and in accord with His design for human flourishing. In order to illustrate this passage, let me make a comparison to the way Lady Wisdom endeavors to treat her guests. In order to do that, I want to tell you about Preston Bailey. Bailey was born in 1948 in the town of Chilibre, near the west coast of Panama. Bailey grew up in a poor family, and therefore didn't have access to much money or education. In 1969, when he was 19 years old, Bailey left Panama and immigrated to New York City in America, where he aspired to become an accountant. Bailey had dreams of going to school, but no means to pay for it. But since he was tall, dark, and handsome, he was able to land some jobs as a fashion model. Pretty soon after beginning to work in the fashion industry, Bailey left behind his plans to study accounting, and he decided to open his own men's clothing shop. But in 1980, the economic recession forced him to close his small boutique store. This sent Bailey on the hunt for his next job. He didn't have any idea what he was going to do next. But his next opportunity would fall into his lap when two of his friends, Vicente Wolf and Bob Patino, hired Bailey to create and deliver weekly floral arrangements to several of their clients. Wolf and Patino were successful interior decorators who worked exclusively with a client list in New York City, and they knew that Bailey was fond of doing floral designs. Bailey had grown up exploring the rainforest in Panama, and he loved nature and all the flowers and colors that it produced. He took his experience being surrounded by nature growing up and combined the colors and shapes using his imagination to make dramatic and artistic displays of flowers for Wolf and Patino's wealthy clients. In the late 1980s, Bailey was offered a job by one of Wolf and Patino's clients to plan her wedding. Well, Bailey had never planned an event before, but he was immediately drawn to the excitement of designing and producing this special occasion. He was now in charge of more than just floral arrangements. He could use his imagination to design and build an entire celebration. When the wedding day came, it was a huge success. Bailey had done all the designing from the wall and ceiling decorations, as well as the lighting and flowers, all the way to the place settings and keepsake gifts. From this success was born his business, Preston Bailey Designs. But Bailey wouldn't become a nationally acclaimed event designer overnight. He would hone his craft and skills over the following years. His signature touch would be including large displays of ornate floral arrangements and structures, a theme of his designs that he drew inspiration from based on the natural lushness of the tropical climate in Panama, where he grew up. In the 1990s, Bailey's career would find an opportunity that would open doors he never dreamed of. Comedian Joan Rivers was a friend and personal mentor to Bailey, and she hired him to plan two important family events for her. One, a small luncheon where she would invite about 30 friends to listen to her talk about her recent trip to India. And two, her daughter's wedding ceremony. In the design of the luncheon, Bailey created an enormous elephant made of flowers and designed intricate table centerpieces of peacocks and the Taj Mahal. And for the wedding ceremony, which was held at the famed historic Plaza Hotel on Central Park South in New York City, Bailey transformed the venue into an ice palace with a royal Russian theme. Both events were exquisitely designed and executed flawlessly. The events exhibited Bailey's signature over-the-top style and were among his first masterpieces that would lay the foundation of his portfolio, launching him into the spotlight of event designing for high-end parties and gatherings. Bailey's exorbitant and impressive designs have drawn the attention of numerous high-profile celebrities, from Oprah Winfrey and her 50th birthday party, where Bailey designed a giant O made of roses as the entryway for her guests to walk through, all the way to the wedding of billionaire Donald Trump and Melania Noss, which had a selection of caviar costing over $18,000 alone. Such acclaim over the years has landed Bailey as the third best wedding designer in the world, according to Vogue magazine in 2018. In every event he designs, Bailey doesn't just think about it in terms of a simple event, but as an experience that he wants the guests to never forget. He wants guests to be led through a progression of discovering beauty, art, and entertainment. He wants them to be dazzled and filled with wonder by the design and ambiance. And it is in this desire for guests to experience something wonderful and life-changing that I find Bailey's endeavors to resemble that of Lady Wisdom. Bailey doesn't just want his events to be a space for guests to sit and eat something, but rather for them to be an invitation to experience something memorable that will fascinate and satisfy them. While Lady Wisdom is not looking to fascinate her guests with over-the-top, extraordinary floral structures and lighting effects, she does, though, create an atmosphere of luxury in her home with the most exceptional accommodations, because she wants those who accept her invitation to experience the grandeur and incomparable value that she has to offer. She wants them to never forget what it is like to be in her company and dine with her. Her guests will be thoroughly satisfied with the rewards she holds. Knowledge and understanding that lead to life, success, money, a good reputation, health, peace, and so much more. This is the way the Book of Proverbs entices its readers to choose wisdom. However, it's not a one-time choice that we must make, but a lifelong decision to walk on the road that Lady Wisdom has prepared for those who choose her. But if we choose Lady Wisdom, we will dine like kings and queens in her presence and be able to live a quality of life that only she can provide. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.